Welcome to Fresh Research, a podcast from the Nonprofit Times. We explore some of the most interesting and sometimes provocative findings focused on the world of nonprofits. Thanks for tuning in. Here at the Nonprofit Times, we see tons of great, fresh research. So in each episode, we take a recent study or survey and have a conversation with the authors about what they found and why they think it's important for charities. We'll also give away some books and give you access to other valuable information from the Nonprofit Times.
Hi, everyone. It's Mark Rivna, and welcome to a new episode of Fresh Research, back from summer hiatus. We're going to get right into it with a new report from the National Council of Nonprofits. It's called Nonprofit Impact Matters: How America's Charitable Nonprofits Strengthen Communities and Improve Lives. Joining us is Rick Cohen. He's Chief Operating Officer and Chief Communications Officer at the National Council in Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Great. Thanks for having me, Mark.
So this report comes all from a lot of data about the sector and paints a picture of basically what the nonprofit sector looks like in the U.S. What prompted this report, and how is it different from other things that we see about the sector in terms of just the sheer numbers?
Well, what prompted the report is just hearing from so many different nonprofits across the country how some of the information about the nonprofit sector is unknown. Even though you have some data points here, some data points there, we've just found so many nonprofits surprised to hear they're 10% of the American workforce, surprised to hear that the nonprofit sector as a whole earns 80% of its revenue through fees for service and government grants and contracts, as opposed to just 14% that's donated. And even more than that, we're all facing some collective issues here across the country. We're facing rising demand, we're facing falling revenues, falling resources, and we're facing new calls from governments at all levels for new taxes, the new tax on nonprofit transportation benefits, calls for different fees in different places. And when you've got rising demand and falling resources, it's a big threat. And so just the tremendous impact that nonprofits have across the country on their own. Imagine what can happen when all those nonprofits come together for a common cause.
So the report has oodles of information. A lot of stuff that I personally am familiar with because I write about it all the time. I'm kind of surprised that you said the council gets a lot of comments that folks aren't familiar with that information, like that most of the nonprofit revenue, or about half, comes from revenues and fees. A much smaller amount comes from donations, and just how big the sector is in terms of impact on the economy, employing 12 million people and all that. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was something that struck me as new, was that you were able to come up with, on average, only about 3% of nonprofits participate in lobbying and advocacy. How'd you come up with that number, and why do you think that's so low?
Sure. That number actually comes from Form 990s. There's a box on there where you check off if you've either taken the 501H election or if you've had lobbying expenses in the past year. And it was a new point to us as well, but as we were going through the 990 and trying to figure out which data points we really wanted to see, that was a big one of them, because advocacy is just so important. And advocacy is so much more than lobbying. It's like how all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. There are so many different ways to engage in advocacy that wouldn't show up in that statistic. Thousands of nonprofits that filed comments when the caps on price increases on .org domains came out a month or two ago. Comments around changes to overtime rules. Those aren't lobbying. Those are filing comments. They're speaking to reporters. That is a form of advocacy as well, raising the visibility of an organization. But when it comes to lobbying, it really is a very kind of a dishearteningly low number. And we see a lot of causes for that. One is just so many nonprofits been advised that lobbying is not legal, or that it's so complicated to comply with the laws that just stay away from it. And that's disappointing because lobbying actually is easy. It is 100% legal. It is not just our right, but our responsibility. It's how many nonprofits are able to advance their missions. And by taking the 501H election, which all you have to do is fill out a really simple form, you get to follow very strict, very specific dollar limits on the amount of lobbying that you can do. And these limits are high enough that most nonprofits are never going to reach those thresholds because the other challenge is just feeling like lobbying is out of reach, that it's, you know, so many nonprofits are overstretched, overworked, and just trying to deliver on their mission, helping people in their community. They feel like lobbying and advocacy are one more thing they can't get engaged in. But, you know, with I was talking about filing comments as a form of advocacy. It takes 10 minutes. You know, go to the form, fill in just a few sentences saying how a certain regulation might affect your organization, and that's it. You know, you can write a letter to your member of Congress, your senator, the city council person, the governor. I mean, there are different levels. This isn't all about just lobbying Congress. And really, there are different levels to get involved in, and we'd hope that every nonprofit find the right places to advocate. It doesn't have to be an everyday activity, but just finding the opportunities that make sense to advance the work that you're doing.
That 3% figure, it could be low in that if the nonprofit doesn't specifically check it off on their 990, then it wouldn't show up. So it could very well be that a nonprofit doesn't consider it lobbying or advocacy, like in some of the examples you mentioned, like filling out a comment or calling your elected official locally, might not show up in that 3%. Is that fair to say?
Yes and no. If they did lobby, if they did call their member of Congress and advocate for, you know, passing a certain bill, you know, they should report that. You know, there are definitions to lobbying. Certainly there is advocacy that is happening that is outside that 3%. But, you know, for lobbying, there's specific definitions, specific instructions on the 990 as to what needs to be reported there. So I guess, yeah, I'd say yes and no. There's a lot of advocacy happening, more than that 3%, but it still is a number that we would hope will increase in the years to come.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say to a charity who's, you know, got a lot of things going on and they have, you know, a small staff of a few people who are probably doing the work of twice as many people? Say I'm the executive director there and I say, where do I find the time to do this kind of stuff? And with my staff, we've already got, you know, work up to our ears. How do I make time for lobbying or advocacy?
That's the big question. And mm-hmm. Part of it really is the return on investment. When you look at certain changes in regulations and laws from the federal level on down to the local level, where you see new fees being imposed on nonprofits in different towns and cities, where you see changes to the tax law at the federal level, the return on investment of spending just a few minutes doing what you can, where you can, and where it really intersects with the work your nonprofit does, it really kind of pays off. Even though it feels like it's pulling you away from the everyday work, when you're talking about, you know, let's just use the new tax on transportation benefits, 21% tax on nonprofit transportation benefits, that's something where we've listened to nonprofits across the country on that, and there are some of them that paid thousands of dollars to find out how much they owe, thousands more for providing those benefits to their employees, and they've told us, because of this new tax, we have to cut back this program, or we can serve five fewer people. And really, at the end of the day, this is all about helping our communities. And every time something happens that draws resources away from that, it hurts. It really does. And so investing just that little bit of time to write a letter, make one phone call. It's not talking about, you know, going, you know, flying to DC or anything, or even going up to the state capitol. Write a letter. Spend 5 minutes on the phone calling a congressional office. There are a lot of things that aren't a big investment of time that really can make a big, big difference.
Were you able to find any kind of a profile of what a typical nonprofit looks like among that 3% who are active in lobbying or advocacy? Is it more of a national organization or a large organization or any sort of idea of what that organization might look like?
That's not something that we took as deep a dive on. That may be something for us to look at in the next edition of the report or in an update that we post to the website that accompanies it. So we've posted a lot more data on that website, state-by-state data, just showing just the tremendous impact of nonprofits in different states, and we'll be updating that over time. So that's a good question we may want to dive into and share later.
Mm-hmm. Any idea what you've heard from nonprofits in terms of why they don't? Is it more typical that they're just stretched with resources, that they're not active in that way? Or is it a matter of fear of breaking the law or not being aware that they are allowed to be active in lobbying and advocacy?
It's a combination of the two, just with how overworked many nonprofit folks are, feeling that it's an add-on rather than a core part of their work, which is completely understandable. And that's why, we see the definition of advocacy is the answer to the question of who can I talk to today to advance my mission? Finding those small things that you can do and engaging at the level that you feel comfortable at. But, a broader problem is a lot of nonprofits just being advised by accountants, by attorneys, even in, nonprofit programs and at some institutions of higher education, and being told about how complicated it is to get involved and how it's tricky and how it's just something to stay away from unless you really know what you're doing. And it's unfortunate that fear is being instilled, because advocacy really is one of the best ways to advance missions. It's the way to change regulations that have some problems in the first place. It's a way to make it easier for that nonprofit to do its work. So it's something where we hope that kind of longstanding myth is on the way to being busted.
We'll be back with more on Nonprofit Impact Matters and what's next right after this.
If you like what you're hearing, share it with friends and colleagues on social media. Use the hashtag #FreshResearch or retweet the Nonprofit Times link, and you'll be eligible to win a book from the NPT Library. Another way for folks to find the show, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations to this month's winner, Dr. Alicia Shortgen. She's a nonprofit studies lecturer at the Dedman College of Humanities and Sciences at Southern Methodist University, otherwise known as SMU, in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for sharing our last episode.
If you're interested in nonprofit events and news, then consider checking out the Whole Whale podcast. For over 5 years, we've covered topics related to marketing, technology, and communications in the social impact space. Recently, we've covered things like tackling Facebook fundraising, why you shouldn't build that mobile app, and why right now is the best time to start your capital campaign. So find us using the Whole Whale on whatever podcast app that you choose to use.
Welcome back. Talking via Skype to Rick Cohen of the National Council of Nonprofits about their recent report, Nonprofit Impact Matters: How America's Charitable Nonprofits Strengthen Communities and Improve Lives. So, Rick, what's next with this report? Is this going to be an annual report or updated every few years?
Well, it's something where we're going to be posting additional data to the website that goes with the report, kind of on an ongoing basis, and we'll kind of see from there whether this is an annual kind of package report or if that website just becomes a clearinghouse for data and stories about the impact of nonprofits. Just because there are so many sources out there where you can turn to Johns Hopkins, for instance, for data on nonprofit employment, as well as the Bureau of Labor Statistics, where You see lots of data come from the IRS. You see, you know, GuideStar has a good collection of data. And so what we're trying to do is bring a lot of that together. In addition to just many state associations of nonprofits are doing these reports on a state level. They've been doing them for a number of years. And just, you know, just bringing all of this information together in one place so nonprofits have kind of a one-stop shop to find this information on just the tremendous impact that nonprofits have and how they're part of something bigger. It's not just the work that that individual nonprofit is doing. It's not just that subsector, that silo that many of us exist in, but that they're part of this huge collection of people making a difference across the country. And we hope they take inspiration from that. And we hope they keep coming back for more information because we're just pulling all the different reports together in one place.
The report also identifies some worrisome trends and also some challenges facing the sector. Can you talk a little bit about what charities should know in that regard?
Sure. And I mean, this is the everyday reality for most nonprofits. They probably know these already, but just the increases in demands for services, and a lot of that information comes from the Nonprofit Finance Fund's State of the Sector survey, where they find how demand for services keeps going up and up and up every year. And the past several editions of that report, more than 50% of nonprofits that participated said they didn't have enough resources to meet demand that year. And then the demand goes up the next year. Then you go with reductions in resources, and that's reduced donations. There's been kind of a disturbing trend that goes back 15 years in terms of, you know, a smaller pool of smaller and medium-sized donors to the work of local organizations. And then you have just the effects of the recent tax law kind of compounding that. And then you add on regulations and new taxes, new fees, new costs. So you've got rising demand, falling resources, and other added costs. And that adds up to nonprofits being stretched like they've never been stretched before, and, you know, running into where they can serve fewer people, where they have to close programs, where they have to close their doors entirely.
And you gathered a lot of information from a lot of different sources all over the place. How long did it take to compile the whole report?
It took us a few months. There was the drawdown of data from the IRS and analyzing that. And we had some terrific help from Data Lake, which is just one of the experts, probably the expert in analyzing IRS data on nonprofits. And just looking at all the various reports, we've been reading them. We read about them in Nonprofit Times. We see the reality of them. And then, you know, the other big part of this report wasn't just, you know, pulling all these research reports together, it was putting them in context. It was saying, you know, this is what these numbers mean for the day-to-day work of nonprofits. And the analysis took a bit of time. And we also wanted to highlight some of the work that nonprofits are doing. So collecting stories, collecting some photos of nonprofits in action with a variety of different missions, from voter engagement to prevention of blindness to, you know, all these things that you may not think about every day. You think about Red Cross, you think about Habitat for Humanity, but you don't think about some of the other, there are 1.3 million nonprofits out there all with their own unique missions. And so, you know, we wanted to highlight, you know, the large, the small, urban, rural, everyone from the coasts, the middle of the country, Alaska. We wanted to cover it all because really that, you know, we are all in this together, and not just because we're all governed by the same section of the tax code.
There's a lot of numbers in this report, whether it's payroll numbers or the sheer number of nonprofits. There's just a lot to digest. What's one thing in the report that you would like to point out or highlight that might go under the radar or might get missed if it's not mentioned?
There are a few. I'll try to keep them quick, though. I mentioned at the top the revenue sources for nonprofits and just how most people think we're entirely, you know, from donations. And donations are critical. They are important. But for many nonprofits, it's just a small part. Second is how most of the policy action is happening outside of Washington, D.C. That's a big thing where everybody's just so focused on what's happening or not happening with in Congress and in Washington, D.C., and just so many laws are being passed in state legislatures that affect nonprofits. And keep an eye on the state house and watch your state association of nonprofits, because they're advocating for you there and they want to keep you updated on that. And then just the last one that so many people have found striking is, you know, a lot of times when governments cut funding to nonprofits, you know, they cut those grants and contracts, they say, you know, just go get another foundation grant somewhere. And we took one example, which was the SNAP cuts that were proposed a couple of years ago to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And the amount that was proposed to be cut would have forced the 15 largest foundations in the country, including the Gates Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and on, all to close their doors entirely, you know, spend down all the money they had, close their doors entirely to fill in that gap. And, you know, we know that not all of that burden would have gone on to nonprofits, but, you know, any time that there's that assumption that foundations can fill in the gap, it goes right back to that dollar bill image of the revenue sources, and where, you know, government fees and contracts are 31.8% of nonprofit revenue. Foundation grants are 2.9%. So, you know, you look at that balance there, and, you know, it's just so important for public officials to understand the importance of the work that they're paying nonprofits to do. These aren't donations to nonprofits out of the goodness of their heart. They're paying nonprofits to provide vital services in their communities, and they need to understand that when they cut back on those things, it's very difficult to fill in those gaps.
Rick, thanks so much for your time, and best of luck with the report. I appreciate you joining us today.
Great. Thanks, Mark, and we hope it's a great tool for nonprofits across the country.
That's Rick Cohen. He's Chief Communications Officer and Chief Operating Officer of the National Council of Nonprofits in Washington. The new report is called Nonprofit Impact Matters: How America's Charitable Nonprofits Strengthen Communities and Improve Lives. You can find the report at nonprofitimpactmatters.org. I'm Mark Haruvna for the Nonprofit Times. Thanks for joining us, and remember to check back next month for a new episode.
That's our episode for today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share the Fresh Research link on Twitter or Facebook to be eligible to win something from the NPT Library. You can also share on social media with the hashtag Fresh Research. And if you like what you hear, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Fresh Research, a podcast from the Nonprofit Times, spotlighting research and trends in the philanthropic sector. Till next time, keep up with us at thenonprofittimes.com for all your nonprofit news.